Welcome back to Hartwin's Building Sustainability Podcast. I'm Geoffrey Hart, and this is episode number 3. This episode is with Emma Appleton. Emma is a builder that I have known for a few years now. She gave a talk at an event I organised last year, and the title of her talk was, "How can our businesses be anti-capitalist, and is that even possible?" The central focus was a list of 100 ways to make this happen. Quite a lot of our Hartwin students were at that event, and this talk was the absolute highlight for them. In this episode, we talk a little bit about building site culture, what she's experienced as a woman working in a predominantly male industry, and we discuss some of her wonderful list items in a bit more depth. If I were a better interviewer, I would have asked her at the beginning to elaborate why we would want an anti-capitalist business. But I'm not. So do stay listening right to the end when I remember to ask it. So before we started recording the interview, we were discussing the need to find a niche. And Emma was telling me how she's trying to find her real, very specific niche. So when we mention niches at the beginning of the podcast, that's why we're so amused by it. Emma also mentioned a podcast that she really loves, which is by Sophie Hagen, who is a comedian, writer and podcaster. I have just downloaded the whole schlep of them, and I'm really looking forward to getting into it. The tag of this one is Made of Human Podcast, and it's a podcast in which I speak to people about life and how they do it. Often, it turns out that no one really knows how to do life, so we end up just having a chat about that. Very much looking forward to getting into that. Okay, I hope you enjoy the episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So to broadly describe you,
yeah,
natural builder, would that be the term you use?
I don't, yeah, it would describe me. I don't use the term natural builder,
right?
I'd use the word builder,
mm-hmm.
which I suppose it isn't very niche. but the reason why, partly is because I don't. It feels more of a statement being a woman and being a builder,
sure.
rather than taking that any further.
Mm-hmm.
But I do all of the work I do is now I'm working on my own terms is with natural or eco materials.
So would you turn down work if it wasn't like exactly to your sort of moral approach? Or
yeah, so it's a really good question. So no is probably the answer, because so for example, there's a renovation that I'm doing. It's coming up in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And it will probably end up being all natural insulation. It's all being re-roofed.
Yeah.
And it will end up being lime plastered, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I am still having that conversation with the client.
Yeah.
And so it's balancing her budget and space requirements and the choice of natural materials.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going in there saying these are only the materials that I'll use.
Yeah. Yeah, the balance of, well, budget usually is one of the major points, isn't it?
But
yeah, what's the dream of natural, local, sustainable as well? And then what can you actually afford?
Yeah.
We work backwards from the ideal.
Yes. Yeah, and I think partly that is somewhere where I'd like to get to is choosing only projects where I'm sure that there's that shared commitment between me and the client.
Yeah.
And I'm really aware of compromises that I'm making as, you know, I'm in a new town setting this up and kind of navigating all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm aware of that. And it does seem, though, at the end of the conversations that I've been having so far, that people are opting towards natural materials anyway. But that's definitely down to... It's not down to luck, but it's down to the conversation rather than me stating, this is the only thing I'll do.
Right. Maybe you're just a very good salesperson.
Yeah, just a good negotiator.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I take those jobs, the carpentry jobs or the plastering with the wrong materials.
Yeah.
Wrong is a strong word, but the ones that I don't believe in so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you just need to pay the rent or to eat or.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's nice. It's definitely in my work, I'm on a path to being just doing the bits I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's so much nicer.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I thought, I thought we would start. I got you a gift.
Oh.
This is for you.
Wow. A podcast unwrapping.
Yeah.
How exciting.
So that is from the International Futures Forum. Have you heard of them?
No.
So they are, I've had to write down what they're about. They are developing a body of ideas and philosophies about how to make sense of today's complex world.
Wow.
And they're specifically looking at how you deal with sort of conflicts and education and... And so that is what they call a kit bag.
It looks fantastic. So it's a kit bag that helps you become calm, share feelings and build relationships with others. Developed for use in groups and families, most elements are best explored with other people. However, animal and presence cards can be used on your own. Wow, so it's a series of little cards, all with beautiful words on them. Like trust, magic, understanding, and lovely pictures like this. Dog.
Lovely little dog.
Lovely little dog who's very understanding.
Yep. And then, there's the colours. Colours bit. I think it's so that when you're discussing an idea or just generally sort of checking in with people, you can pick a colour that represents how you're feeling rather than trying to...
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find the word or the emotion or... And then the presents one.
About kit bags presence cards. These cards help you to calm your mind. So this one. Imagine a really stormy lake gradually becoming calmer and calmer until it is glassy still.
Ooh.
Breathe in, thinking about compassion. Breathe out, thinking about forgiveness. Wow, these are lovely. And these are made for any kind of groups working together to be able to have that kind of, to be able to deepen the conversation about feelings. And it's always, so the presence cards are kind of bring you back. That's why they're like, so bringing you back to yourself.
Yes. So I think there's a little instructions there, but I think the idea is that you start with the presence card to sort of set the.
Okay. Yes.
You know, get you in tune with your body, your emotions.
Yeah.
And then it suggests different ways that you can use what do they call these ones? The
feelings cards.
Feelings cards.
What a brilliant present.
Ah, good. I'm glad you like it. Thank you very much.
That's great.
Well, do you want to choose a feelings card?
Yes. I do. Shall I shuffle them?
Yeah.
I shuffle them.
Yeah, you don't want me gaming your...
No, totally. Right on the top. You feel ecstatic to be doing this podcast. Right. Oh, blimey.
What have you got?
Authority.
Ooh.
Yeah. Feeling as with authority.
Mm.
I was thinking about authority actually the other day in terms of business and my construction business.
Mm.
And how, so at the moment, as I was saying before, I'm at this point where I'm doing some fairly different projects to each other.
Yeah.
And saying yes to a lot of things, mm. actually, having moved to a new place. And seeing it all as a really, as an experiment.
Yeah.
Kind of testing out how I'm, in how much I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. How, and also testing out different ways of working with clients and the kind of business practices that I'm bringing in.
Yeah.
And there was, so the reason why I was thinking about authority was the thing of it being a, it feels like a reflection point.
Right.
For me at the moment in my business, and it got me thinking about, well, that joy of just having done this for a certain number of years,
mm-hmm.
and getting to the point where I've got a bank of experience behind me, and just how lovely that suddenly, it was like just a moment of, oh, that's such a lovely feeling. And it's not necessary, I think, that authority might not be quite the right word, but in terms of just it does feel like authority, even mm. if that's about autonomy over my own choices and decisions about where I take my business next.
Yeah,
like based on this bank of experience, which just felt really nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so what colour is that?
Oh, what colour is that? Well. I'm drawn towards the red because it's exciting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sticking with the red.
Great.
Yeah. Would you like to pick one?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, yeah, so I've turned that over.
Love.
Oh! Wonderful.
And a lovely picture of a dove.
I was going to say seagull, but it is a dove.
You're looking at it upside down. I think that's a dove. Maybe.
I'm sure it's a dove. It is a dove.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Like,
is it? Yeah.
A colour.
Ooh, it's hard because I just want to pick my favourite colour.
Yeah, I think that's what I did.
What's my emotion? What? How am I feeling? I think it's this sort of, what is that, sort of teal?
Teal, yeah. Really nice.
Yeah, there's a calm feeling that...
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's calm before the storm, actually, but...
Yes.
Well, hopefully you can use this in your quests to make building sites better.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, mini kit bag. It's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Yeah.
So I was going to start with, before I discovered those, I was going to start with interesting similarities in our life.
Okay.
because I think we first met 4 or 5 years ago, wouldn't it have
been? Yes. Yeah.
And you were teaching for Strawworks.
Yes.
Was it still Strawworks or was it School of Natural Building by then?
I'm not sure.
One of the two.
Yeah.
you were teaching load-bearing straw, which I'd never done. I'd only ever done infill.
This was on the Leicester.
It was, yeah. That
filled.
Funny one that was in a old Victorian dump with, like, broken bottles and stuff all around.
Yes.
And then under a barn roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, really interesting little build.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, so there's this, both of us are doing this building with natural materials.
Yes.
But then there was also, I think at that point you were just moving off of your boat and I think I was just moving on to my boat.
Yes.
And I kept seeing your boat around London as well, your old one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I go, oh, there's a boat.
Oh, great.
So yeah, that was a nice little parallel. And then more recently, Prince's Foundation.
It was, yes.
Something we've both taken part in.
Yeah, which you did first and then I followed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, sort of swapping, what am I trying to say?
I don't know. I did try and get the same van as you.
Did you?
But they were so hard to get hold of that I didn't
The
manage.
Suzuki Carry?
Yeah. But when I saw you have that 4 or 5 years ago in Leicester, I was like, I really want one of those. And then I didn't manage to pull that off.
Yeah.
Otherwise that could have been another little thing that we could have added to our parallel lives.
I wonder how many more things we could bury into and like.
It is incredible, isn't it, how that does happen with people who are interested in similar things and then start ending up in the same places or going on the same travel journeys.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So I was watching your TED Talk last night.
Uh-huh.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Must have been quite nerve-wracking.
It was very nerve-wracking, yeah.
You did exceptionally well.
Thank you.
How did that all come about?
I asked them if I could do it.
Yeah.
And actually, embarrassingly, the way he introduced me, so it was at Aberystwyth University. It was a TEDx talk, which happened, lots of small ones all over.
Mm-hmm.
So I always thought it would be a really hard thing to get to do a TEDx talk, but I saw that they were having an event and emailed him and said, please, may I do a talk?
Mm.
And he rang me immediately and said, yes, we've got one space left. And then, yeah, so the kind of slightly embarrassing way that he introduced me on when I was doing it was that he said, so this is Emma, and she's the only person that contacted me wanting to do this talk. Everyone else I reached out to because I knew that they were really fantastic. I said, oh, thanks, Clive. But anyway, I did, as you know, the talk at the Big Straw Bale Gathering,
mm-hmm.
which you invited me to do, which was kind of the beginning of getting my thoughts in order about building site culture.
Yeah.
And the way our businesses are part of that. And then, and after doing that, I just didn't want to lose the momentum. And because I'm the kind of person that does lose momentum unless I've got a deadline ahead, that's why I contacted the Aberystwyth University to do that. And it was good to kind of take... I wanted to take it... So the talk that I did for the yeah, the big straw bale gathering was very, was much more about business.
Mm-hmm.
And then the TEDx talk, I wanted it to focus down on a critique of building site culture.
Yeah.
And then possible new futures in that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really, it was a really important process for me to go through to like hone that a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was very, very well done. It was great. Yeah. The some of the things that you said on there were shocking, like in terms of building site practices. I mean, I've not been on too many big building sites, sort of development level. The idea isn't particularly appealing to me.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm not very much a sort of blokey man and wouldn't really thrive in that situation. Mm. How do you find those big sites and like the culture within it?
Yeah. So I have a mixed thing. I have an enormous critique of them.
Mm.
And the way that they celebrate a very macho culture.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I have that in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started and I talked a bit about this in the TED Talk, so in an attempt to fit in, I also had an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because of just really joining in banter, and I found it quite easy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only after a bit of time that I realised that it was at the expense of not actually being true to the rest of myself.
Yeah.
I enjoy a lot. I enjoy some aspects of the culture. But when it comes down to it, my critique is that it only allows a very certain type of person to thrive.
Yeah.
In that culture, and it's very detrimental to anyone else trying to be themselves.
Yeah.
And also in terms of the quality of the work that's being delivered, the other side is actually not as good as it could be. And I think that comes down to the culture.
Yeah.
Of it's not supported. To really care about the work.
Mm.
And I suppose in all of these things, you know, it's not all building sites.
No, obviously, yeah.
And I'm talking from my own experience, but having seen this repeatedly at every large site that I worked on and on some smaller sites, it's definitely an ingrained culture.
Yeah. There's a story you told on the TED Talk about the insulation fitters.
Yes.
Would you mind kind of talking about that?
Yeah. So that was the insulation fitters who never fitted the insulation. So it was a site. It was a story that was told to me on a site.
Uh-huh.
Of these guys who, a load of insulation that arrived. And these guys have been working fitting rigid foam insulation for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then all they saw ahead was putting in more rigid foam insulation. And you must have worked, even being a natural builder, I think.
Yes.
A lot of our ways through,
mm-hmm.
it's in some job you get to work with this really horrible material. Yep. I spoke to another guy who told me horrible stories about what he'd had to, about skin problems that he'd got from working with that.
Oh, really?
And specifically if working in a really confined spaces.
Mm. Like buildings, you know. Like,
yeah. I think he was working in an attic, unventilated attic space.
Right.
Which was really unpleasant. And not necessarily wearing, like, PPE or anything.
Yes.
But anyway, so these guys had been doing this for the last 2 weeks, and then a load more insulation came on site, and the what they decided to do was fit insulation into one section of the house and then leave out insulation, not put any insulation at all into the rest of the walls, and the insulation basically went straight into the skip.
Right.
And then it was plasterboarded over, and the section of wall that they insulated was the section that the building inspectors were going to check.
Right.
Which I mean, I can understand the decision that they made, because that's what they were doing day in, day out, and it's a really unpleasant material to work with. And they're not, the culture isn't, yeah, it's not about, it's really hard to be connected to a fantastic end product of a building.
Yeah.
When all of the, when that's all, the only input they were having to that building was putting in this insulation.
Mm-hmm. It's like the sort of McDonald's employee just, yeah, you know, puts a blob of ketchup in and then passes it on. Yeah, they don't have any, they haven't built the burger, they've...
Yes.
Yeah, they're one tiny cog.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a really stark example of what's happening in the building industry when, people can just kind of get away with it,
mm-hmm,
because it's such a horrible environment to work in.
Yeah. I think you sort of said on the talk that they'd kind of teamed up with the plasterboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sort of thick as thieves.
Yeah, it was definitely like a win for them. You know, when they were telling the story, this was a
right,
definitely to be celebrated. I think this happens across loads of different industries.
Hmm.
And I think it's quite extreme in the building industry because the way that... it's a pretty low paid industry.
Yeah.
It's very highly regulated, but not to the point of not about the care of the people on the site. So it becomes really easy for it to happen.
Tell me about your experiences with sexism on the work, on the building site.
Yes.
Is that a leading question?
No. I mean, it's sexism is definitely on the building site. And that's... So I haven't... There was an incredible amount of sexism on the building, mm-hmm, site. And I received sexism from things like people taking materials out of my hands, maybe because they think that they might be stronger than me,
mm-hmm,
So I suppose mainly it happens nowadays as a more running site that people just assume that if there's a man working on site as well, that they would be running it and that I'm,
yeah,
not. I think, I suppose, something that I was talking about a little bit is about how sexism, that it's so different the way different people receive it. And so to open it out or to get more particular about the way it happens, I might receive very different sexism to a woman who looks much more feminine than I do.
Right.
And then... There's also a lot of oppression against men who show any femininity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's the way that... So there's an idea that... I thought for a long time that I was... I suppose I thought for a long time that it would be great if there were a lot more women working on building sites.
Uh-huh.
And then got to a point where I realised that actually it's a whole system that we need to change, and it's not just about bringing more women on site, because the culture is affecting all genders.
Yeah.
And in the way that, yeah, men can't express, no one can express sensitivity and vulnerability and how they're feeling in the morning.
Yeah.
And that affects all of us. And then on top of that, yes, there have been instances of overt sexism because of being identified as a woman.
I actually, on the way over here, there was a story on the radio about sort of sexism in statistics and how, you know, all of the worksite gloves are made to fit, you know, the 50 percentile male hand.
Yeah.
You know, the workwear, the, you know, the tools. They actually said that surgeon's scalpels are sized for, you know, the male hand. And, you know, some of the female surgeons couldn't properly use them because...
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's the direct kind of sexism you face, but then also just the, like, inherent stuff that's just always... Well, it's not always been there, but it's just never been thought about, I think.
Yeah. It makes it or it has been thought about.
Yeah. Yeah, even worse, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that way of just feeling like it's not possible to access is... And it's much harder to name that kind of oppression or sexism. It's much harder to name, I don't feel welcome in this place because... It's not being, one, because I don't see anyone else who looks like me, but also because this hasn't been, everything's talking to a very particular kind of man. And so it's very, so, and after a while that gets really wearing.
Yes. You made the point of the way tools are named.
Yeah.
I always, the reciprocating saw... the blades on those always have, like, the destroyer, the punisher. Yes.
The punisher, wow.
Like, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And I know that's not a subtle tool, but...
yeah. Absolutely. It's really... and it is... And, yeah, that's how it's so... the culture becomes really subtle. It's because if you pick any one of those things out, it seems like... Oh, come on, just get over it.
Yeah.
But because it's absolutely everywhere ingrained in the culture, then that's why it makes such a big difference to how it feels to be in the industry.
Yeah. And you have you always wanted to be a builder? Is it?
I don't think I thought that it was possible.
Right.
When I was growing up. So I wanted to be an architect.
Right.
Because I thought that was more likely that it was possible for me to be. And then, it was only much later that I realised, oh, actually, maybe I can do this.
Yeah.
Maybe I can be a builder.
That's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible for me to hear that, you know, that you thought a job was, or you didn't even assume a job was it sort of in limits.
Yes.
It's not that it was off limits, but...
Yeah. Yeah, and it really is that thing of if you can't see it, you can't be it, which is the role models of people make a really big difference, I think.
So what were there any role models that you did have, like in building world?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey there, I'm Mick from the Mick and Pat Show.
That's right, and I'm Pat.
Looking for a podcast that's like catching up with old friends? Well, you're in luck.
We're here to bring you weekly doses of lifestyle commentary, discuss culture and politics, and top it off with the occasional beer and film reviews.
But it's not just about us. We're a community. Our listeners are our kin, and we let you all have a say in what we discuss.
So saddle up and join the conversation at the Mick and Pat Show. You can check out our website or find us wherever you get your podcasts.
When I was growing... No, I don't think I knew anyone who was doing this kind of thing when I was growing up. No. But which is why working for, I think that the fact that Strawworks and then Amazon Nails existed and there were two women at the forefront of that.
Yeah.
Was probably my, but I'd already decided to be a builder before I met them. Uh-huh. But definitely they were the people, Barbara Jones and Bea Rowan were definitely, it was a joy to see people like them in the industry.
Yeah. There's this is a slight tangent and it's something that makes me chuckle, but yeah. I'm not sure where they're based, but it's an all-women plumbing group.
Oh, yes.
Called Stopcock.
Yeah, sorry, I've nicked your no, that's fine.
Punchline. I love that.
Yeah.
That genuinely makes me very, very happy.
Yeah. Maybe you could interview her.
Yeah.
Hattie Hassan. I think she's based in Todmorden.
Is she?
Yeah. Oh. Or close to Todd, anyway.
Okay. I'll add that to the list. Yeah. You have made 100 ways to create a feminist building site.
Yes.
What's that about? Tell me about that.
That is, so I called it 100 ways to create a anti-capitalist building site.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah. No, but feminist is fine. I mean, it could be feminist, could be
I think I actually took that off your handout.
Oh, did I change? Maybe I've changed it since.
Okay. I think I did anyway.
Yeah. So, anyway, whatever it's called, it is, the idea of it is a practical implementation of a change in culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those 100 ways are really tiny little things.
Yeah.
Things that on their own wouldn't seem like they would be this massive social revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So they, for example, number one is stretch.
Yeah.
So stretching is just such a really simple thing to do. But to do that on a building site, and which is a real very obvious display of I'm making a decision to look after my body and take care of myself. I find quite nerve-wracking to do on site when it's not in the kind of... on an eco-building site, I don't think I'd find this a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But on the larger house-building sites, if that's a regular practice to do that, for me to do that every morning,
yeah.
I really have to kind of... I didn't do it on sites. I'd make sure that I would not be seen as I was stretching.
Mm-hmm. So you'd still do it, but just hide from the...
And just to make my life a little bit easier of not standing out, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because of the culture of our bodies can do anything, they're machines,
mm-hmm.
and we don't need to look after them, or we mustn't be seen to look after them in that way.
Yeah.
Stretching's got that, and so it's incredibly anti-capitalist or feminist to say actually I'm going to give my body exactly what it needs right now.
Yeah, be nice to yourself.
Yeah, yeah,
and make it last longer.
Which is such a simple thing, isn't it?
But
it's it's incredible how ingrained it is that. Just doing what the job needs or getting on with it, working quicker and faster is what we're supposed to be doing rather mm-hmm. than stepping back and thinking, what do I need right now? So it's got things like that. It's got ask before turning the radio on. So
major.
It's a tiny thing, but it's one thing that also I really found makes a massive difference in thinking about the impact of what we're doing on sites and how that is on other people, including the customer and other team members.
Yeah, well, the radio is sort of it's a point of quite a lot of contention. It can really set the mood on a site.
Yeah,
it's got so much power.
Yeah.
And so to turn it off or on is, you know, it's kind of a big show of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or it can be.
Yeah.
It's not overgeneralized, but
yeah, definitely. Yeah. To just ask the question, do you mind if we have some music on or the volume of it, then to make sure that, so sometimes if I'm doing some bits of work, I really don't want I need to be able to focus and think, and I can't do that with the radio on.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just Radio 2 is blasting out on Radio 1 as loud as it can be.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get around that. And then other things I think are more personal, I suppose, and changing. So one of them is, I'm paraphrasing my own work, but it will be something like ask each other how you're feeling in the morning.
Yeah.
And remember that. Everyone's bringing their own all parts of themselves to work. So if someone gets to work and they might have had an argument with someone in the morning, or they didn't really sleep very well, or their mum's ill, or they've just had a baby, you know, there's an incredible number of things that happen to us that we can't compartmentalize when we get into work. And just having that moment of time to be able to have that conversation can make a really big difference to the rest of the day.
Yeah. I mean, it's both, you know, the kind of getting it out there from the person's point of view, but also, you know, the how you deal with them.
Yeah.
You know, you give them a bit more slack if they're, you know, if they've not had any sleep, then, you know, they're not going to be working, you know, maybe at their sort of finest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in so that there's the highest suicide rates in the building industry than any other industry in the UK. And that's particularly for males.
Yeah.
And I haven't ever seen mental health support for people working on building sites. And it's a really impermanent, there's not a great deal of security for people working on sites.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, so with a complete lack of job security and all of the concerns and worries and any mental health difficulties that people are bringing.
And the fact that you have to just put them behind you because you've got to be this, you know, this expected thing in the culture.
Yeah. It's a massive strain.
Mm. So I actually noted down some of your 100, I'd like to ask sort of more about, and then other bits that I think just are brilliant. Well, I think the whole thing is brilliant, by the way. So we were mid build when you did your talk at the Big Strawberry Gathering.
Yeah,
all of the students came away just like, oh, you know, the list. And we had sort of certain copies in the marquee that we had as our sort of common area.
Oh, and great.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, yes, it very much hit home. And also, yeah, for me personally, you know, I'm someone that is running a building site. And there's a few things in here that's like, oh, yeah, of course, that hadn't occurred to me. Happily, there's a few things as well, which you know, are standard practice, and but it's a really good thing. So I thought, well, the first three I think were all exceptional. Number two, drink water.
Yes.
Which made me think a lot about one of the most influential people in my sort of education. Was a guy called Eric in Utah, mm-hmm. and I think he actually used drinking water as, if he ever got antsy or like get a bit tetchy, he'd remember to drink water because that gave him the space to.
Wow.
But he'd, you know, you'd hear him like holler across the building site, like, drink water! and he'd be like, oh, Eric's a little bit stressed. And then everyone would drink water and carry on.
That's fantastic.
It's a really nice thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, drinking water, shouldn't be a revolutionary thing to suggest, but yeah, it's not done.
No,
can't say not done, but it's largely not done.
Yeah, and it's really interesting the way you talked about it, is that it's a moment of stopping and reflecting. Mm. It's all of these things have these added mental health benefits, as well as obviously the physical health of,
yes, you need
being
water,
hydrated. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, a lot like stretch and drink water, they're both a massive reminder to myself, because I'm definitely someone who wants to push my body as far as it can go without thinking about it, and will not drink water because I'm too thinking, well, I could just get this done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've gone up the scaffold now. I'm not going to go down. And even though, yeah, so becoming, I very easily become disconnected from my body.
Yeah.
So they're definitely a reminder to myself.
Well, I'll come back to number three, but number 19, if it hurts, stop.
Yes.
Brilliant. Again, you know, why do we have to say that? But it's,
yeah,
you know, the sort of the mentality of just, you know, sort of shrug it off, or, you know, ignore it, or,
yeah,
you know, it's within certainly myself.
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with guides on site talking about the amount of pain that they're in, and carrying on regardless, and just because of partly I suppose very much to do with the culture, because there's no one there. In the same way that I didn't have a role model to go into the industry, I hardly see any role models of people demonstrating looking after their bodies. So it's, yeah, if it hurts, stop.
Yeah. So number three was create comfortable time frames with plenty of wiggle room.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm just going to have to stop myself saying brilliant after everyone. But there's the permaculture principle, which is use small and slow solutions.
Okay.
And, you know, you've sort of directly linked it. I don't know if that was intentional in any way.
No, I didn't know that.
But, yeah, it's something I've been thinking about a lot. It's giving more time. Well, all of the benefits of that.
Yeah.
The sort of one downside I felt of our last build was that we were always chasing,
yeah,
you know, chasing the time, and it took away some of the sort of simple pleasures of it.
Yeah.
So I wish we'd given ourselves a bit more. But
yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's a really hard one to do, I think. Yeah, definitely.
Especially because when, you know, time is money, and the client is paying for that, you feel like you have to get it done, as quick as you can.
Yeah, well, I was talking about that with the as a woman I'm working with doing this line plastering job, and she was saying that she finds that for her back, if she lies down over so her back arches and she's lying down kind of over something in the middle of the day, it makes such an incredible difference to how she's working, how she's feeling. But she was saying she really felt like she couldn't, because her time was her client's money. So she was constantly working in that with that way of thinking. And I think that is definitely it's really easy to get caught up in that, isn't it? Which
very,
I suppose,
so,
is only one aspect of create comfortable time frames with plenty of wiggle room. But that's one reason why I think it's hard to give ourselves the simple pleasures, is because of always thinking, well, this job should be as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
And we must make sure that we're just constantly working. And it makes it really difficult if we don't have that wiggle room to be able to address things like that. Address sexism and racism when it happens, to do all the learning it's so much learning that's happening on our building sites. And if everything's a rush, then it's really hard to, take the time to make the next one different.
So you touched on it there,
number five.
Yeah.
So discuss sexism, racism, homophobia and all prejudices informally, formally and every time it happens.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that.
So I think that this... I think this is a social revolution. Mm-hmm. If doing that is a social revolution.
Yeah.
And because one of the ways that we stay living in a culture that supports sexism and racism and these different oppressions is because we're not bringing them into the light and talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of practice and courage in that. To do that, and courage,
yeah.
to stop and say, hold on, what you said there is, that's a direct oppression towards someone else, and to have that conversation with someone.
Mm.
But the more we do it, I think the easier it's going to be.
Yeah,
and the more we do it, the easier it is to see it in the first place. I know the amount of times when I've gone through the day and then an hour later I'll be doing, sawing a piece of wood and think, wow, that what that person just said or did was actually, that was a sexist comment towards me or...
Right.
And I would have, and I don't realise until later.
Yeah.
Because of just not, you know, slowly building up the practice,
mm-hmm.
of identifying it and then speaking about it.
Yes. And I suppose inaction is seen as kind of acceptance as well. So if you don't pull someone up on it, it's like you're giving them the thumbs up, keep going, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were talking about that with a group of apprentices with the prince on the Prince's Foundation, mm-hmm. apprenticeship. I did a workshop with them about this, and talking about how comfortable people feel with standing up for themselves and then standing up for other people in a situation like that. And so many people, and I do this as well, talked about jokes that they'd come up with in order to brush it off.
Right.
Or, ways that they'd manage to diffuse a situation without having... basically, in order for it not to turn into a conflict.
Yeah.
Because it is really... because the majority of people, I think, don't want conflict.
No.
And we're not schooled in how to deal with conflict in a non-violent way.
Mm.
If anything does come... when things like this do come up. So the easiest way to deal with anything is just to bundle it up, make a joke out of it, and then move on as quickly as possible. Yeah. And so that's... but to actually really talk about the crux of it is...
Yeah. Well, I'm actually one session into nonviolent communication evening courses.
Okay.
It's something I picked up on, like that avoiding conflict, and actually then later on, either like kicking myself because I didn't, say what I truly thought or believed in, or just let things happen that, where I was just, trying to keep my head down and stuff.
Yeah.
So having that ability to talk about things in a non-confrontational way.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That's
really good.
Trying to be better.
Yeah. we all are.
Oh, so I really enjoyed understand that there's always more than one right way.
Yes. That's a real building site thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's got their own way and that's the right way.
Yeah.
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 Actually, that comes directly from the dismantling, an organisation called Dismantling Racism Works. Someone called Tema Okun wrote a report called The White Supremacy Culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's identified the different Actually, I've said he, but I don't actually know the pronoun of that person. They've identified the different characteristics of white supremacy culture, and one of the things is there's only one right way.
Right.
So that it's a fantastic report.
Mm.
And some of the that came directly from that.
Huh. It's sort of stood out to me because one of my little phrases that I will say a lot on the building site is there's no right and wrong, only consequences. And that comes directly from being a snowboard instructor. And you can snowboard however you like.
Yeah.
But the consequences are that you might not be able to do it, turn as fast, or you might be unstable. Mm. And there's different forms of right.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's a way, as soon as you know that there's more than one right way, it's much easier to listen and learn about how other people are doing things, isn't it?
Yes, and seeing what their right is as well, what the end product that they're actually trying to get to is the right thing that they're thinking, but maybe it's different from what the building needs or from what other people need. So I've got a couple more for you. The one I enjoyed a lot was... create a comfortable and luxurious tea break hut.
Yes.
What's your thinking behind that?
Well, it's directly inspired from sitting in a lot of really rotty, horrible tea break huts.
Yeah.
And it comes back to self-care and how radical that is. And looking after ourselves and our bodies and the difference it makes. And that it's so much easier to have a vulnerable and difficult and challenging conversation if you're on a comfy seat with a clean mug and somewhere to dry your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a knock-on effect back to how... coming back to the relationship, which is... in my opinion, where the social revolution happens is that those individual relationships between people and really focusing on that minutiae of how our world is working.
Yeah.
And if we're doing that from a place of comfort and, luxury. and it also marks out a site to look... One way of changing culture is for things to look physically different.
Yeah.
And if to walk onto a site where we're really celebrating those more domestic aspects of site life, because every time we're setting up a new building site, it's like this little mini temporary, potentially utopian society where you can create a new, we've got that opportunity to create a new culture. And if that looks different to what our expectations of a building site are, then it's easier, I think, for our minds to think, oh, okay, so here is somewhere where I'm going to act differently.
Yeah.
Because I can see that someone's wanting to take care of me. And so it's much easier to respond in a more open way.
Yeah. Well, that leads perfectly onto it. I'm not going to keep going on these. I mean, is this list available somewhere for people to...
It ought to be on it. It's totally an admin fail that I haven't put it on the website.
Fair enough.
But maybe by the time... I don't know when this will be. I'm
not sure when
out.
It will go out. But...
So but hopefully by that time.
Great. I'll give you a heads up.
Yeah, thank you.
So, available on emmaappleton.co.uk.
Yes.
So the final one, 100, was be prepared for a building site to be a transformative place for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And listening to the students that are, or apprentices, do you call the people?
Oh, students.
Students on your building site, it's quite clear that it's a transformative place. And I think people were saying that directly to me at the Strawbale building gathering.
Yeah.
After you know, hearing that number 100, they went, yeah, being with Jeffrey for 10 weeks is transformative.
I'm blushing a little bit. well, I mean, good. I'm pleased that we're succeeding. I mean, it's... Oh, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything, just accept it.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
So I'm just going to finish. There's a few... I've been thinking about my own list.
Oh, great.
And there's a few that I wanted to run by you.
Yay.
See how they landed with you. So this is something we do already is well, I've written create a lifting friend culture. We always, so Joe and I will always ask for a friend to lift things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the default, arm goes up, I need a lifting friend.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes into,
That's really, I really like that. And lifting friend, it's just a really nice way that it's coined as well. Yeah. Brilliant. And then especially if it's just so on your site, does it get to a point where you don't even have to, you know, people are expecting.
Yes.
So people are looking out for that kind of thing.
Sort of queuing
and
up
then
to
ready to
take the other handle of the drug.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. And so directly sort of with that is half fill buckets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, I'm so terrible at that. And I've definitely been thinking that this week that I must do that. That's a fantastic one. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's definitely a habit.
Mm.
And if it becomes a habit to... And then the buckets last longer.
Yeah.
Not only do we last longer, but the bucket, that is brilliant.
And the amount of things you bump into and like break when you're carrying something too heavy. And...
Yeah. Great.
This one is probably directly related to what I'm doing at the moment, but reduce sugar snacks at break time.
Oh.
I feel that maybe that's a little bit, sort of authoritative, but I've given up sugar for the last month and a half now.
Great.
And why this came about was getting the job finished last year.
Mm.
Like the biscuits came out every break time. And
then
I'd sort of eat one. And then because I was a bit hungry and tired, I'd eat two and three. And then I'd have a spike.
Yeah.
And then I'd be frustrated.
Yeah.
And, a crash and not really be able to function properly.
Yeah.
And it's actually, just fuel. I think I can word that better. But it's something about the right fuel going in.
Yeah. I think... Well, I've also given up sugar for the last month.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
But exactly for that energy.
We're so similar.
Yeah, totally. We knew we'd find another one where we'd have parallel lives. And it is exactly for that reason of to have a more level energy throughout the day. And, to have more availability of fruit on building sites or other ways of
nutrition.
Snacking nuts. Rather than sugary biscuits can really make a big difference. Nice.
All right. Well, I won't go on with this too much. So one more is carve spoons.
there's a whole. I'm not really in the carving spoon area, but of building life. But I always find that because there's those T-shirts, aren't there? It's quite a dogmatic, like, carve spoons. What's that one? Do you even carve, bro?
Oh, yeah. Owen Thomas's.
So people are very... It must change your life.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for carving a few hundred spoons.
You must carve more spoons.
Well, I think it's sort of... There's a moment when... I've been teaching quite a lot of spoon carving recently, and... There's a moment when everyone knows what they're doing and it just goes silent and it becomes like a little meditation of, getting something done, but also just enjoying the process and being like in that moment.
Yeah.
But also it sort of ties into something
Dave Cockcroft was telling me, and that's the sort of that it's in the sort of olden days, Swedish woodcarver sort of old chaps might sit there and carve something as a way to actually be able to connect with someone, because you know, they're not looking directly in their eyes, and they can say, "Oh, you know, I'm feeling a bit sad," while looking at their spoon and not having to have such an intense sort of conversation of it.
I love that. I really love that. I wonder, that would be great if your next podcast was like you did, people were carving spoons.
Yeah.
You were carving spoons with people. So like now we're sitting here in this, I mean, it's not that formal. We are just at my kitchen table.
Yeah, we're drinking tea.
But definitely to have some, if I was like doing something with my hands at the same time.
Mm.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
There you go. I'm not going to bore you with all the rest.
Oh, but will you tell me afterwards then?
Yeah, well, when I get to, what have I got there? That's maybe 10. So
yeah.
I'm a tenth of the way through my 100.
Yay.
But yeah.
Oh, I hope everyone does their 100.
Hmm. And then, well, yeah, then maybe that's a challenge for everyone who, not just works on a building site, but
yeah,
you know, in however you do your day to day, just make a list.
Yeah.
So that an interesting thing that anti-capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
How I'm not sure I fully follow how it's anti-capitalist.
The 100 ways.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite an in-depth
question. Is that maybe next time's podcast?
Maybe I just give a couple of examples of the way. So, so a critique of capitalism is, so if it works with stretch and drink water.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one of the main aims of capitalism and the way to become a successful capitalist is purely to create profit,
mm-hmm.
solely to create profit.
Right.
And that comes, and that that aim goes above anything, absolutely anything else.
Yeah.
So what it means is in that striving for profit that other things, it's absolutely necessary to have some oppressions and for other things to lose out for the sake of profit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things is our bodies. So our bodies become the machine to make the product that produces the profit.
Yeah.
So things like stretching, drinking water, taking the time to have conversations about sexism and racism and prejudices that happen on site all the time, they don't directly produce profit.
Right, I see.
So, in that way, to change that focus is an anti-capitalist act, in my opinion.
Well, Emma, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much, first of all, for even making this list, and then especially for talking with me today.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
Cheers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
so much to Emma for sparing the time to talk to us. She was putting off doing some lime plastering that day. So I am very appreciative that she took the time out. You can hopefully find her list of 100 ways you can make your building site anti-capitalist on emmaappleton.co.uk. There's also an email list where you can sign up to be part of the discussion. Also, I want to say a big thank you to Dave Cockcroft. Dave is a spoon carver and chair maker who's actually the subject of one of the Hartwin Building Sustainability podcasts. He was the person that put me onto hearing that moment of silence when people are learning to spoon carve and when they're concentrating. So big thank you to Dave, and really look forward to putting that podcast out sometime soon. And once again, before I go, just a reminder that you've got until the 19th of April to submit your student applications for our upcoming 2019 build. We are building two straw bale workshops from start to finish. And if you'd like to be part of that, to come and learn the process and learn by doing, then please do get your application in. Read all about the programme on our website, hartwin.co.uk, and then you'll find the application form there. So once again, that's the 19th of April to get those applications in. Thank you very much for listening right to the end. If you do enjoy this podcast, please do subscribe. Until next time, see you, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.